You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, I have a message I want to minister to you. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Turn to Matthew 19. And I'll do my best to stay focused here. I will admit I'm still a little wore out. Yeah, we work down here till 6:30 Friday, cleaning up, putting things up. And then yesterday morning we went to the airport and picked up Jan Moore. He's preaching actually at Rance's church, Faith Outreach Church in Greenville, where Rance pastors. And he's staying with us. He's coming back this afternoon and dropping him off this afternoon. So we're just still a little wore out. If I look a little scattered, it's only because I am. Matthew 19, hallelujah. But I do have this burning in me I want to share with you. And it's kind of what we do. You know, when you think about a hallelujah night, you think about the food ministry, and you think about just having church and the missions that we support and so on. You know, a church ought to be a blessing to the community. It shouldn't be a pull on the community. That's why we don't solicit, you know. I don't want to be another church that's hitting up business for help. I mean, I just don't think that's right. A church ought to be out of debt. It ought to be given to the community, not taken from the community. And if anybody freely wants to give, sure, we're open to that. Call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. But we're not gonna solicit that. We're not gonna tell people, you know, you need to give to the Lord. And I don't ask for preacher discounts and all those kinds of things either. I know people do that, but I don't. Even when we have subcontractors or contractors come out and do things, I don't say, now, you know, this is a church here. You know, you be sure and give us a, you know, hey, you know. I don't do that. I just tell them straight up deal, and most of them do give us discounts. We don't ask for them, you know, we don't require that, and I don't ask for that, but a lot of people do it, but that's their business, and they've got to make money, they've got to stay in business, and that's what's, see, the world has such a bad idea about the church anyway, Christians, because they're poor mouthing God, and trying to lowball everything, you know, and make it sound like that we just can't make it if you serve God, and y'all need to help us out. Well, listen, we're here to bless the world. That's the other way. We ought to have it the other way around. We're here to help the world. We're not here for the world to help us. And that's a mentality some people have, you know, about God, that if you're going to go work for God, get ready to lose your house and your car and everything because he doesn't pay well. You know, and that's not true. God will take care of you. He'll bless you. If you'll do the work of God, he'll take care of you. Amen. And if what you're doing as a church is God, then God will breathe on it, he will bless it, and he'll make sure it works. And if it's not, you need to kill it anyway. You need to stop it because it's not God to start with. If it's of man, it'll come not. If it's of God, you can't stop it. And we found over the years, in 31 years, not everything we've done has worked, but we found when we hit that thing, we get in agreement with God and get on something he really likes, we never have problem with money. He'll make sure it works. And the stuff that doesn't work, you just got to know when to let it go. You got to know when to cut it off and center in on the things that God's blessing. You know, it's one. We're just riding waves is all we're doing. We just got to find the wave. Some people trying to ride a wave's not there. It's gone a long time ago. It already hit the shore. Get off of it. So, in light of that, because this is semi what we're teaching on, I'll connect the dots somehow. We as Christians ought to be helping people. That's bottom line. We ought to be reaching out to people. We ought to be helping people. Do the best we can. We can't help everybody. We ought to help somebody. You know, we can't solve everybody's problems. In fact, we're not the answer. Jesus is the answer. But we can help some people. If you can't help two, help one. And if you can't help 10 people, help two people. Do what you can. If you're faithful in the little, he'll put you over the much. And Christianity's not an abstract thing. It's just not a concept or an ideal or a thought. Christianity is very practical. It's very rubber meet the road type stuff. It has to do with the way you live and the way you act and the way you treat each other and the way you treat the community. This community is better for us being here. Are you with me? Every church ought to be able to say that. They ought to be able to say, this town's a better town because we're here. They're a better town because we're here. Every business ought to be able to say, you ought to be able to say, if you work for a company or you own a company, either one, this company is blessed because I'm here. This is I'm a good employee or I'm a good employer or, you know, I'm blessed. I love this about Abraham and Lot. You know, Lot looked over at Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was, the Bible says it was a well-watered garden. It was green, and he says they split up, and Abraham told Lot, you decide where you want to go, you go there, and we'll go the other way. Because their shepherds were having strife between them, Saul and Genesis. And Lot saw that well-watered garden, that well-watered valley, and he said, I'm going over there. Because he thought he'd be blessed if he went there. Abraham's standing there, and he's going, it don't matter where I go. Wherever I go is blessed because I'm there. There's a difference, amen? The blessing's on me, and it's on you. It's on all of us as Christians, as believers, and everywhere we go ought to be blessed because we're there. We're not blessed because of that place. That place is blessed because of us. And that's the concept we ought to have. We carry it with us. We're the children of the living God. Hallelujah. We got something to give. We got something to say. We got something to help with, bless with, and whatever it is, do something with it. Share it. Give it. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. We're not sitting around here at International Outreach Church trying to figure out ways to get money. We're trying to figure out ways to help more people. We're figuring out ways to give more food out, to reach out further, to support more missions. We're not trying to get more money. We're trying to help more people. I mean, our concept's not that way. Well, if we do this, we'll get more money. Well, maybe we'll have a fundraiser. Hey, why don't we start charging? Hallelujah. Just a dollar ahead, man, we make a lot of money. Just maybe $2, or maybe we could charge for the hot dogs. No, we're not thinking of ways to get money. Because I think as soon as we do that, you kill the goose that laid the golden egg. Amen? We're thinking of ways to bless people. And it's just amazing. And part of the excitement is just seeing how God blesses us. You know, the Bible says the blessings will come on you and overtake you. If you'll just do what God says, He'll take care of you. And I guarantee you, if you make people your business, if you'll decide, I'm going to be a blessing, I'm going to help somebody, God will help you help somebody. He will. That's what we've seen over and over. Matthew 19, 16th verse says this. It says, and behold, one came and said to Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Interesting statement. And the 17th verse says, and he said to him, Jesus said to this young man, he said, why callest thou me good? Now I'm reading out of King James, so there's a lot of the these and therefores and yeas and verilys and forsooth and peradventures and the other twos. He says, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. And if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, and I think this is fascinating, because if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are the four Gospels. Those are the four accounts of Jesus on the earth and his interaction with people. And as he walks with the disciples and teaches them, then teaches multitudes also. It's interesting that when Jesus talked about the commandments, he always talked about the commandments that had to do with other people. Now, if you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the first four commandments are, you know, worship the Lord your God, you know, no other gods beside him, make no graven images or idols of likeness of anything, make no idols, the second commandment, don't take the name of the Lord of God in vain, the third commandment, and remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, that's the fourth commandment. Those are the first four commandments. But the next six commandments out of the ten have to do with relationships. Are you with me? Honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't lie. Are you with me? Don't kill. Don't covet. You know, don't commit adultery. All those have to do with people. The first four had to do with vertical with God. That's kind of in the abstract. It's kind of mystical in that sense. You know, I love God. I worship Him. I don't make graven images. But the way we live our Christianity out, that's the next six commandments, really, when you think about it, because it's the way we treat each other. It's the way we treat other people. When Jesus would quote the commandments, he always quoted the other, the ones that had to do with people. Because, you know, we could argue over doctrine all day long, but it really comes down to it. If you're not helping anybody, who cares what you believe? You getting this? If you're not a better husband, you're not a better wife, and this thing doesn't equate out into making you a better you, if you're not more loving, if you're not more kind, then what in the world good is it doing down here? Take us to heaven, we'll get to heaven, but you're mean as a snake till you get there. Are you with me? And God wants it to affect your life. He wants to, y'all still with me? Okay. Even when you think about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four accounts, You know the things that the religious people always got upset with him about? It was always over religious law and him helping people. Like he would heal someone on the Sabbath. He was helping someone, but he violated some kind of mystical law. In other words, you weren't supposed to do that on Sabbath. He wouldn't stone that woman, and the law said kill her. He forgave her. It was always about helping people. And they got all up, the Pharisees got all upset about it because he was always trying to help people. And they got all over him because his disciples ate corn in the fields on the Sabbath day. Are you with me? And he was just trying to feed them. They were hungry and they picked corn. Violated something, but it was always to help somebody. It was always something to do with the other six commandments in helping people that they just did not like it. You know, redneck Christianity. My way or the highway. You know, little points of the law, and then you're just running over people, and you're stomping over people, and you're destroying their dreams, and you're killing them, and you're not trying to help anybody. I'm not saying violate Bible. Stay with me. I'm talking about your faith should equate into helping people. And if it doesn't help people, then let's just go on to heaven and get out of here because we're not much good down here. Are you out there? If you're believing in Jesus, it doesn't make you a better man or a better woman. If it doesn't make you nicer and kinder, if it doesn't make you a better husband, it doesn't make you a better wife, or a better father, or a better mother, or a sister, or a brother, or all the rest of those kind of people. And my mind's not getting there, but anyway. If it doesn't help you there, come on, we need to get back on our knees. We need to pray. We need to look this thing over. If this church is not blessing this community, if we're all just closing the walls and coming together and amen and saying, yeah, that's right, and believe all of our doctrine, yet we don't do anything. We don't help anybody. We don't. Are you with me? Then we're just another religion. But thank God, Jesus was very active and very involved in communities. He went out and helped people, and he blessed people, and he fed poor people, and healed people that were sick, and forgave sins, and you know, and that's the kind of people we need to be. Amen. We want to be people that are making a difference. Now, I can't do everything, but I can do something. You know, you can bake a cake or banana pudding, or you know. You know, I didn't talk a lot about pecan pie, but I really do like pecan pie. Just saying. So he said to him, 17 verse, he said, why callest thou me good? There's none but good. That's God. But if you will enter into if you are in the life, keep the commandments. And he said, which ones? And Jesus said, well, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, you shall honor your mother and father, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I like that. Now that he might be replacing thou shalt not covet with love thy neighbor, but I think he's saying love thy neighbor, which really entails all those. Because if I love my neighbor, I won't steal from him. And I'm not likely to kill him. Are you with me? If I love him. So although he may have been replacing that, you know, that shall not cover that, but I think he summed it all up when he said, just love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. This takes Christianity out of something mystical, you know, out of a concept or an idea, down to where the rubber meets the road, the way we live our lives. And I love this saying, and it's an old saying, but people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if you don't care for people, they don't care. You know, you can talk about Jesus all day long, but if you don't really have a concern for them and they know they can't count on you and you're not going to help them, why in the world are they going to listen to you talk about Jesus? What would be the point of that? You know? But if they know you're there and you're really there to help and you're there to bless, I'll tell you, in our town, we have a great reputation. We really do. I mean, we're not perfect, and I'm sure there's some people don't like us. I know there's a guy that passed Larry as he's going down the road in a tractor and a trailer, taking people that said some unkind things because he probably lived down the road and Hallelujah Night was keeping him from getting home. But all I can say is at least everybody's talking about us. But that's an exception. I think our church, what I hear about town, people are always telling us about how much they appreciate our church. They don't even go to our church. Other churches talk about our church. But you know why? And it didn't happen overnight. Because I can remember when we started the church. Anybody remember when we started the church, 1982? The Rotary Club showed a Jim Jones cult film in a Rotary Club and said, beware of any new organizations coming to town. And we were it. Am I making this up? That's exactly what happened. The mayor actually showed the film. And then in one of the main churches in town, they started a series on cults right then. had a several-week series on cults. I mean, we came in, we were not just, you know, they weren't excited about us coming in. We were the new kids on the block, and they didn't know anything about us. And, well, you know, people are down on what they're not up on. And I knew they would just love us once they got to know us. So I went down and joined the Rotary Club. I thought, that'll fix them. I'll get Dr. John Rotary. They'll fall in love with me. How can you not like me? Come on. So I joined a Rotary Club and went there for a while. I actually became the president of the Rotary Club after a few years. Jim Jones became the president of the Rotary Club. Well, they were just rumors people start, you know, and they get twisted and people don't know and they're afraid of the dark. But you know what? It's not that way now. Now we have a good reputation, and because of the good that we have done, when you think about it, I mean, we got a Citizens of the Year award 1 year for our Hallelujah Night. And we've been on the front page for our food ministry, you know, over the years. And gotten phone calls for help in different areas. Yeah. First Baptist drove their van over to help us pick up kids, Hallelujah Night. A Calvary Baptist drove their van over to help us pick up people up and down the road. We had different churches out here running booths. It's like that every year. Come on, it's just, you know, we are pro-church, and it takes time, and you have to be patient. But if you'll live your life helping people, it'll finally get back around. Time tells all things. Amen? It tells all things. And maybe you're struggling with relationships too. Listen, just don't be weary in well-doing. Just keep doing good, keep praying, keep living for Jesus, and in time it'll come back around. It will. God will always bless you if you just stand up for what's right and help people. Because people can get, you know, they can get squirrely. You can get squirrely. You just have to be kind and pray and keep doing the right thing. Amen? It'll finally come around. It's like this. You don't have to turn there, but if you write notes in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Are you out there? For he that loves not his brother who he has seen, how can he say he loves God who he has not seen? So the way we love God really is shown in many ways by the way we love each other. Now, I'm not perfect. I got a ways to go. You probably do too, but I'm better than I used to be. Are you with me? At least I'm progressing. I'm getting closer to the goal here. Of loving more people. I still get upset, still have to pray, you know, but that's wrong. I don't condone that as a Christian. As a Christian, I say that is wrong. I'm the one that points it out and says it's wrong to hate. It's wrong to not forgive. But if I can't love you, how can I say I love God? Pure and simple. And if I'm not helping anybody, what good is what I believe and what I preach? If this church weren't helping anybody, I love that. You know, we do a lot of foreign missions, but we ought to be doing local missions too. You know, we do a lot outside our church, but what do we do for our community? That's important to do that. And you as a person ought to be doing that too. This young man's faith was more mystical than practical, I guess you'd say. That's what Jesus was trying to hit. If you know the story that goes on, he actually had a lot of money, and he's keeping all of it, and he wasn't giving it away. Now, contrary to the day he was living in, he didn't have to, by the government, give it away. But back then you had a choice. Now you don't. But anyway, that's another story altogether. You know, there is a moral value in giving to others when you're not forced to do it. Alexander Pope said, when the deed is forced, the grace is marred. That makes perfect sense. If you force me to help somebody, then there's no grace in it. I sure don't get credit for it. And the person that gets it sure doesn't appreciate it. Are you out there? You know, we talk a lot about government trying to help people and so on and so forth, but really that's not the government's job. The government shouldn't be helping people. You should be helping people. I should be helping people. The church ought to be helping people. There shouldn't be a law saying I do it. There shouldn't be a, you know, and that's what's wrong with our government today is they're trying to take the job of the church, take the job of an individual person's, and take away our free will. Now we make a law where everybody has to do it and everybody's mad about it. We're mad about giving it and people are mad about getting it and there's no thankfulness and there's no charity. I heard it said this way. I thought it was pretty good. You know, why don't we believe in what the government's trying to do and force us to give more of our money to people? Well, we're already giving money to people. That's the way it's always been. The rich have always helped the poor. Are you with me? But if I'm walking down the beach, hello, and I've got two sandwiches, and then you walk up, you don't have any, and you walk up to me, and I said, hey, you don't have a sandwich. Take one of my sandwiches and eat one of mine. there's moral value there. I gave that sandwich away, and it's a good thing, and the person says thank you, and he's grateful, and we both have a sandwich, and it was free will, and I did it of my own free will. Well, the difference today is that I'm walking down the beach with two sandwiches, and here comes Obama riding on a horse. And he puts a gun to my head, and he says, give him one of your sandwiches. Now look, the poor man still gets a sandwich. I still get rid of my sandwich, but there's no more value. And the government rides off into the sunset like a hero, like they've done something good. And that we go, wow, that is wonderful. Isn't that great? No, there's nothing great about that at all. There's no love here. There's no love your neighbor. There's just a law that says I have to do it. Are you out there? Did I lose you on that one? Okay. There should be moral value. Amen. And moral value comes down to helping people of your own free will, as Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when you give to people through taxation, that's not love. That's forced. That has to be done. You don't have a choice. Just decide not to do that one day, see how long that works for you. Turn to James 2nd chapter. James chapter 2. I think we ought to be helping people that need help. Even in the food bank, we try our best to find out who really needs help. There are always people that abuse the system. Sometimes you do have to help the greedy just to get to the needy. I understand that. But you want to cut down as much abuse as you can. Amen. But you don't want to just hold, you don't want to just close your door and say, I'm not helping anybody because you're mad at all those people out there abusing you. There are people that need help. We want to help them. Amen. Hallelujah. There are people that need to be in the wagon. We need to pull it. Problem today, we just got too many people in the wagon, too little people pull it. People pulling and getting tired, they're saying, forget this, and they're jumping in the wagon. Hello. Okay, I'm going to quit on politics. I just, y'all, I'm a little tired, a little cranky. Just pray for me. James 2, you found it? Notice what it says in the 8th verse. It says, if you fulfill the royal law, I love this. Everybody say royal law. Royal. Man, that's the only time it says that in the New Testament. This must be pretty good. The royal law, according to the scriptures, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. That's the royal law. That's the king's law. That's the law of the land there. That's the king's law. The king of kings and the lord of lords. As a Christian, I should love my neighbor as myself. Amen? Loving each other. That's what it's about. You say, I want to get closer to God. Great. Go help somebody. I want to get closer to God. All right, pray for somebody. I want to get closer to God. Okay, think about others. Think about your wife. Think about your husband. Think about your children. Think about the church. In October, think about your pastor. I'm just trying to relate here. But, I mean, think about others. If you want to get close to God. See, we say, oh, I want to get close to God. I want to go off in the mountain somewhere, get in a cabin. I want to pray for about, 40 days, 40 nights. Well, actually, really, what you need to do is go help somebody. Go lift somebody. Go love somebody. Go pray for somebody. Go live for someone. That shows your love more than anything, your love for God, more than some abstract thing. I could understand the monks wanting to do this years ago, and it got to be a thing where they'd go off and they'd spend their whole life in a monastery and get away from society and just read their Bibles and just pray and sing hymns and Gregorian chants and they would just isolate themselves. And the world even would say, well, that's so holy, that's holy. But actually, it wasn't that holy because they really weren't helping anybody. It sounded good, and I'm not dissing them. I'm not saying that in a bad way because their heart was right. I think their head was wrong. But Jesus wouldn't have done that. Jesus didn't do that. And he didn't tell his disciples to go ye into all the mountains and keep away from everybody. He said, go ye in all the world. Preach the gospel. Are you with me? And help people. Gave them power to heal diseases. And he told them to give to the poor. And so all those kinds of things. He didn't tell them go hide somewhere and isolate yourself and just pray and seek me. And even in the Old Testament, it talked about fast. It says, this is the fast that I require, says the Lord. Not your bulls and your goats and your lambs, but go help the poor. That's exactly what he says in the Old Testament. He said, this is the fast that I desire, that you would help the poor, that you'd feed the hungry. In other words, God wanted you to love him by loving others. See, we've got it down to, we sing that song, it's all about you, you know. We got it down to, it's all about me. That's kind of our motto sometimes. It's all about me. You know that song? No, it's not about you. It's about everybody. You know, and God wants to make you a better you, and that way to do that is to go help somebody. Amen? Fulfill the royal law of love according to Scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you do this, you do well. The ninth verse says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressions. You know what? I want to be a church that anybody can come to. I want this to be a church you can come if you have millions of dollars. In fact, I really like to talk to you if you do. But anyway, I want this to be a church you can come to if you're out of a job and you're homeless and you're looking for help and you're trying to get back on your feet. But I don't want to be a homeless church, and I don't want to be a rich church. I don't want to be any. I want to be a church. I just want to be a church where everybody can come. Not a church where there's even designer, and God bless, don't take this wrong, designer friendly. I don't want to be just a cowboy church. I don't want to be just a motorcycle church. I don't want to be just a 20 to 40 year old church. That's a target people are hitting in modern churches. You thank God for churches that minister to those people. Say with me. Don't twist what I'm saying, because I want people coming here. If you want to ride up on a horse, come on. If you want to ride up on a motorcycle, come on. If you have to walk down the road, come on. If you come in here in a Lamborghini, come on. Park in my spot. No, I wouldn't. No, I will not treat you any different. I will not do that. I won't. And none of us should treat anybody any different in here. Amen? Amen. It doesn't matter your social class. Doesn't matter your educational status. It doesn't matter the money that you have. Come on. That's not. No, no, no. The church should be a place where there is no respect to persons, where everybody's got a chance and everybody's got hope and everybody's got a future. Amen? And everybody is loved. Everybody's loved because everybody is love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that not just rich people, not just poor people, not just the down and outers, not just the over the toppers, but that everybody, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we're not careful, we can kind of make our church, or any church, become one status, one kind, one type church, you know, where it just ministers to the one type. I think we ought to minister to all types. Isn't that what it says? If we have respect to persons, we sin, we commit sin. So let's don't do that. You out there? Yeah. Hallelujah. 14th verse. Y'all getting any of this? Yeah. I hope I'm not being a little too hard. Sometimes, you know, when I'm tired, sometimes I get a little cranky, a little too hard. I don't mean to. If I do, I'm wrong. I have to repent. So y'all still love me? Amen. Have to. Got to. Have a choice. All right, 14th verse. Notice what it says. Still in James 2. And you know these verses, and they're real, real familiar to you. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, have not works, can faith save him? I don't believe he's talking about being born again. You can't do enough good stuff to be saved. We're going to heaven because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? But the kind of faith that we have is the faith that does translate into action. It is the kind of faith that affects our character and our nature. It does affect the way we live. It affects people around us. This church is, this town, I said, is better because this church is here. It should be better because every church is here. Because Christianity makes a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, if a brother or a sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you do not give him those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? We pray for everybody that comes through our food bank. They come through a prayer room before they get their food. But I'll tell you what, this food bank would shut down in a matter of weeks, probably a week or two, if we just prayed for people and we didn't give them food. If we put a big sign up that says, food ministry, come be prayed for. And we don't give them any food, we hadn't done anything. We hadn't given anything needful to the body. You say, well, prayer is important. It is, no question. And I believe that's the most important part of what we do. But the food, it shows that we care and that we mean what we say and that God is a big God and a real God and a practical God, and he will meet your physical needs. And that's why prayer works, because we see it happening all the time. Here we are miraculously giving you food here. Now, we're going to pray for you to be saved. We're going to pray for your marriage to get better. Listen, God cares. He loves you. We care. We love you. Here's some food. Let me pray for you. Are you out there? Hallelujah. And hallelujah night. Probably wouldn't be so big if we didn't get out a lot of candy and hot dogs. I know that. But we don't mind doing that because it gets them out here and they hear about Jesus. Woo! Get in this Christian atmosphere and it's a safe environment. People just walk around. I see people walk around sometimes in the days just looking around. They're just so happy. They're so safe. You know, there's policemen there. It's just a safe environment. Kids running around. We are constantly trying to find lost parents. Hallelujah night. Constantly over the intercom. Chris is back here going, well, we got some lost parents here. You know, it's just all night long. Because parents, they just get out here. It's so safe. Kids run off. They don't care. They're just walking around eating hot dogs, you know. Because it's a safe place, you know. It's the way it should be. Okay. If a brother or sister be negative, destitute daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you do not give them the things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Doesn't profit a thing. Actually, if we just prayed for people all the time, nothing ever happened, what good would that be? Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, used to say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That means when you pray for something, there ought to be results. Amen? There ought to be something going on. Hallelujah. And in this case, he's saying we ought to help people and bless people. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, it's dead, being alone. It's saying that faith is an active faith. This thing called Christianity is an aggressive, active faith. It really is. It's a world-changing thing. It's a life-changing thing. Faith in God's changed my life, I can guarantee you that. It's changed the way I live. It's changed the way I approach people, the way I look at people, the way I relate to people. It's changed me. It's changed my priorities. It's changed the efforts that I put out, the work I put out, is more for people than it would have been if I didn't know Jesus. I think about this week. I wouldn't have been down here this week building up. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't have been down here cleaning up and putting up stuff there. I would, if I didn't love people, I wouldn't be down. You better be glad I love you. No, but I mean, that's what compels us. It moves us. It moves all of us to come, to help, to be a part of something, to help people and bless people. And, you know, the love of God constrains us. It just, it changes. You can't let that go by. You can't walk away. Like the Good Samaritan. He just couldn't walk away. Couldn't walk away. He had to help that guy. Just have to. And see, God has sent us to suffer and sigh and die in humanity, Brother Osteen used to always say. And I can't just stay home. I can't just lock the doors. I can't just not get involved. I got to get involved. I've got to make a mark for Jesus before I die. I got one shot at this thing. I want to do all the good I can. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And I don't want to be a nobody. I don't want to be just a problem. I want to be a part of the answer. I want to be a helper. I want to be a lifter. I want to be a lover. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. And I can, because I am a Christian. I am a believer. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am not who I used to be. I can make a difference. You can too. Amen. He goes on and says, yea, 18th, 19th verse, I'll close this out. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe in God? If there's one God, well, the devils believe also, and they tremble. We believe and act. We believe and move on it. We believe and go forward. Amen. And God wants to make a difference in your life. Hey, one more scripture, I'll quit. This is it, for real. Yeah, I will. This is it. I'll skip a bunch of them. Galatians 5, the last verse, to sum it up. This helping you? I do want to stir you, but I want to encourage you too. I want to, you know, this is not just a charge without any kind of help. This is a charge saying you can do it. And you know what? We are doing it. I mean, here we are really just patting you on the back. We're doing a great thing this week. I think that's awesome what went on. Hallelujah night. And thank you for everything you did, coming out and taking the time and effort to do it. Galatians 5:14 says this, for all the law, Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's pretty strong, isn't it? You know, I want to be a Christian. I want to live for God. I want to do what the Bible says to do. Well, it's all fulfilled in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll do that, man, you don't have to worry about anything else. You don't have to worry about thou shalt not kill, because if you love your neighbor, you won't kill him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with his wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal. If you love your neighbor, you know, you're going to honor your parents. If you love, love covers a multitude of sins, and love is the fulfilling of all the law. What's love got to do with it? Well, contrary to Tina Turner, secondhand emotion, love's got everything to do with it. Real love, God's love, amen? And it's loving your neighbor as yourself. And really the way to do it is love your neighbor as if you were your neighbor. That's how you do it. And do unto others as if you were the others. It's like that woman said. She was, you know, poor woman. She didn't have anything. Wasn't really educated. But she was in a mess. And she's crying out to God. And she says, God, all I know, if I was up there and you were down here, I'd sure help you. And that's true, isn't it? I mean, you know, the idea that God's got a bunch of hoops and bells and whistles and stuff you got to go through. God loves you. If you just call him, he'll help you. Now, you go out and be that kind of person, too. You help people, too. Amen?